All right, folks. So it's JJ here on BS3 Network. Hope you guys are doing well. I'm excited. We've got preseason hockey on the horizon. Actually, the first game was yesterday. The Stars blew out what was left of the Arizona Coyotes. That didn't go to Australia. 7-0, me and K Fitz. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the roster. We'll talk about a whole lot more. So sit back, relax, grab your favorite snack, your lunch, your breakfast, your dinner, whatever, and let's talk some hockey. My boy K Fitz.
Hey, sorry, running a little bit later than expected. Right when I said I'd be just about available, I get a phone call.
Oh darn, 3 minutes. Whatever will I do?
So, how about the start of the Stars preseason?
And dude, they scored a touchdown and the extra point. Okay. So, can I go on a little rant? Maybe you back me up on this?
Sure.
I saw this social media feed. You probably saw it too, but, you know, they say 7-0 and, you know, somebody gets behind it, somebody else gets behind that and goes, yeah, well, it was just a bunch of AHLers and ECHLers.
Okay. Like,
that exactly was my sentiment. Like, all right. That's what you want to see, because number one, yeah, it was in Cedar Park, big flipping deal, but number two, that's your coaches, you know, if you think about it, the coaching, like DeBoer and whoever else, might have been your scouts to see if you're ready for the big leagues.
Well, so, and not only that, but I mean, these are guys that are fighting for, you know, possible future, if not positions now, but future positions later.
Right. So that's actually my point, and why I'm stuttering. It's just like you want them to do that.
Yeah.
You know, when I mean, for that matter, it takes the pressure off of guys like Ben Sagan, Robertson, Pavelski, all those guys. You know, they look down at those youngins like Delandria and, you know, Blumel and even Maverick Bork. And they're like, wow, all right. You know, you want them to blow somebody out in the preseason.
Exactly.
And no, it doesn't matter who has that crest on their chest. You're still part of that team and you still have something to prove.
That's true. And see, that's where, once again, a lot of people, you know, like I said, preseason is great to have wins and losses and things like that. And, you know, I don't put too much faith in wins and losses in preseason because, of course, you know, it's not starters versus starters. It's guys that are fighting for roster spots. It's guys that are even just trying to make the roster or at least make a team, whether it be in the NHL, AHL, or even somewhere else, because, you know, you understand, you know, it's not just the Dallas Stars that are watching this. You know, other coaches and teams in the league are going to get tapes on this. They're going to see, I say tapes, they're going to get digital formats of this, I guess. And they're going to, you know, they're watching this as well. So, yeah, no, that was an impressive outing for these young men, if you ask me.
I think you're out of your mind if you're not impressed by 7-0, especially with a goalie that was just picked up for what I thought was going to be a training camp body.
Right?
I think I said this to you. I'm pretty sure I said it to Weldon, the other co-host of the show. He's just a training camp body. Yeah, but wow, 7-0?
And also, you know, I think you made a very good point with, you know, him and Matt Murray down in Cedar Park.
I mean, you got to look at this and go, all right, let's start him again. PTO? You know, I'd be scratching my chin.
Yeah.
Off 7-0. And look, there, you don't need to sit there and hurl all sorts of insults at Arizona. Yeah, they don't have an arena. Yeah, they barely have a hockey team, whatever, whatever. But they're still in the NHL.
It's still a professional team.
Yeah, and these kids are still fighting for their spot in the world of hockey. No matter what way you shake it, they're fighting for their spot in the world of hockey.
Honest and truly, we could just take the teams away. You know, this could have been Team A versus Team B.
I mean, yeah. While the other squad was up in or over in Australia, you know, getting their butts whooped or whatever the case. I didn't watch it. That's way past my, I don't want to say bedtime, but you know, the limit where you actually care.
Right.
Yeah. It was just way past the, yeah, no thanks level. And, you know, I would have watched. Yeah. But because it's hockey. You can't take anything away from whoever dons that sweater. I'm sorry.
No, you really can't.
It's like, oof. See, we could talk about the NFL too. The way I feel about preseason, you could bench all the starters like we've discussed before and have it bite you in the butt, or you could play whoever and see what sticks. And you know, the Stars only had 3 starters on the ice, I believe. It was Hanley, Delandria, and Lundqvist.
Yeah, I believe you're right.
Something like that. And, you know, that's enough. You know, you got to get the young guys, I don't want to say under the microscope, but maybe under a magnifying glass, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's perfect. You know, get their legs under them. Get to see who they're working well with. You know, we talked about that, Delandria, Bork, and Stankoven.
Yeah.
You and I threw that around. So. Mm-hmm.
And it was good to see, you know, Stankoven get out there and get after it.
Dude, he scored 2 goals. 2 goals. And all that hype that I've been hearing about, I'm not going to let the Wyatt Johnston thing happen again. Where I'm like, do I need to watch him? Maybe I need to watch him. Oh no, he scored 2 goals in this first game. I might need to watch him.
Yeah.
I mean, and look at Arizona, dude. They only took 11 shots, and seven different players took the shots.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Dallas, everybody but 3 of them. Huh?
They have what, 50?
Yeah, 50-11, and every person shot but 3 of them, one of them being that young goalie.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Obviously. That would have been interesting if you'd gotten a shot on goal.
Oh, my, dude. Yeah. But I think, like, you're trying to prove yourself on that PTO, man. 7-0 is, I'm so excited I got the hiccups now. 7-0 is a heck of a notch in your cap. And you got a game tomorrow, too?
Right. And, you know, you gotta understand. I mean, these are a lot of young guys. Everybody in the league who is somebody started somewhere at some point in time, whether it be a Gretzky, whether it be a Madonna, whether it be a Ben, whether it be a Johnston, you know, they all started somewhere. And these young men are just now getting started really in their professional careers. And for anybody to discount anything that these young men did, it just blows my mind. Either you're just looking for negative, or you're just a negative person, plain and simple. I mean, my God, you couldn't ask for a better showing from a group of young men who these are not seasoned men that have been on the ice with each other for a long period of time. These are guys that are just now getting out there. And then, you've got the coaching staff that are just trying to fit these guys in to slots where they think they're going to mesh and fit in good with each other. And they're just trying to see what they can find out, what works, what doesn't work. And these guys go out and lay not only a shutout, but lay a 7-0 shutout. Get out of here. I mean, my goodness. If you're telling me if you were watching junior league, or if you were watching, your kid's high school ice hockey team, and they went out there and scored 7-0, you'd be like, oh, well, yeah, but those are high schoolers. Are you kidding me?
7-0. The only thing I got out of that butt whooping, besides holy cow, I can't believe they won by that much, was those young kids and those people that are trying to prove themselves, a la Jordy Ben. Those dudes were hungry.
Right.
That's what I see. I see a goalie that wanted his shot and he took it. I
For
see
sure.
a spot that Jordy Ben could, prove that he still has a little bit of fuel left in the tank. And for that matter, with his little brother, Jamie? Dude, having Jordy on this team would be such an asset because it would allow Jamie to take a little pressure off himself and not have to hit every freaking soul that hit the ice.
Definitely.
And so, it's the preseason. Yeah, there was a bunch of nobodies, but on the other side of that coin, there was a bunch of nobodies.
Nobody's who eventually one day could turn into a somebody.
They proved that they're ready to
You
turn
know,
into a somebody.
here, here, here's something. Here's something. I just watched a video earlier today. On Barry Sanders. I know that the NFL guy, but still, the story still plays true. So when Barry Sanders was in high school, he didn't start until I believe it was his senior year. And the only reason he got the start was because the starting running back at the time got injured, and he made the most of it. And the reason he never started was, get this, and I know this is going to sound funny to people that have now see, and hindsight's 2020, because guess what? We can see the career that this man had. But they felt like he was, number one, too small, number two, not fast enough, and number three, afraid to get hit. I'm not kidding you. Those were three things that his high school coach said about him and why he wasn't a starter. So then he goes out in college. Dominates for 2 years, I believe. His sophomore year, he had done everything that he could achieve. He got the Heisman and went into the NFL. And even still, being sought after and everything like that, was still looked upon as, well, he's going to be a running back. He'll have an okay career. We're not really counting on a lot. Of course, when Detroit drafted him. They had a lot of faith in him. And what does he do? I mean, he goes out there and has one of the most dominating careers in, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, from what the documentary said, there has not been a single running back who has had a more dominant 10-year period than Barry Sanders ever did. And this is coming from, when he was in high school, nobody gave him a shot. Nobody gave him a chance. Even his coaches said, no, he doesn't have the size, he doesn't have the speed, and he's afraid to get hit, things of that nature. And we see what kind of player he turned into. So for any kind of naysayers that want to sit there and say, well, these guys are, these are nobodies, well, Barry Sanders was a nobody at one point as well. Emmitt Smith was a nobody at some point as well. Walter Payton was a nobody at some point as well. It's not like these guys just came out of a factory, and we knew when they were drafted and when they went into the league this is who they were going to be. Once again, like I said, Wayne Gretzky was a nobody at some point. At some point, who the hell's Gretzky? Who's this kid? But now you say his name with reverence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Madonna. Another one. Madonna was a nobody at some point. Mm-hmm. Nobody could sit there and tell me at the very beginning of Madonna's career, even when he was in, you know, junior leagues and things of that nature, they just knew that he was going to have the impact that he was going to have. And that one day he was going to be hoisting up the Stanley Cup. There's nobody that could tell you that. Nobody. So, you know what? Take what we've got right now. Take the preseason for what it is. Yes, of course, it's a bunch of people that we don't know a lot about. Because guess what? Unless you follow this, and I'm sure there are people out there that follow it like there's no tomorrow. I unfortunately don't have the time to do all of that. I wish I did, but I don't. So I can only rely on what I'm seeing now. And what I'm seeing, I'm impressed. And I think the future for these young men and the Stars organization is looking bright.
I would have to agree with you. And I do have the kind of time. No, I'm going to make the kind of time that it needs to be followed under a microscope. Yeah, absolutely. Because there's not a single soul on this whole system that I don't want to see succeed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to put that kind of effort in, if you don't make it here, by golly, you better make it somewhere else. That's what I hope for you. And, you know, Stankoven, man, I don't want to say under the bright lights because they were in Cedar Park. That's a considerably smaller arena, but...
It's a smaller arena, but it's still a nice arena. I mean, it's not like the Bell County Expo Center that we have here.
Taking me right back to my childhood, are you? okay, so... In a sense, yeah, you're under the big bright lights of the big leagues. And Stankoven comes out roaring with 2 goals. That tells me that young man has no fear. You know?
I agree.
That's what I like to see. Who cares who's on the ice? If you come out here and you got something to prove, I'm watching. And I tend to... hope for the nobodies, quote unquote, like that. You know, the people that are on the PTOs, I watch them a little bit closer. Not saying Stankoven or Bork were those guys, but I watched the guys that were what the experts call camp bodies. Because, you know, everybody's on that ice, they need a chance. And that, to me, if I'm watching and I'm writing about it and, you know, I'm a fan of whatever, you just enjoy the fact that you have hockey.
Yeah.
You know, hope for the young man that knows he has to work a little bit harder because he's not Tyler Seguin or Jamie Benn. You hope for that. You know, that's the kind of person you want to root for. The ones that'll get their hands dirty. Get their knuckles bloody, all the way up to their elbows, whatever the saying is. That's the ones you cheer for. Because let me bring this guy up. Brendan Morrow, was he the most talented ever? No.
That's a good one to bring up, too.
Could he skate circles around people? I'll say when he wanted to. But it's not a talent thing. His was effort. You knew when that man hit the ice, he deserved that C on his chest.
Yes.
Because he was going to hit you with everything he had. And, you know, by golly, that's how that whole squad, from top to bottom, ECHL all the way to the NHL, that's how it should be. Otherwise, you don't even need to be on that ice.
100%. 100%. I agree with that.
And
you know what? These guys are out there. This is okay. In the corporate world or in the world of where you're working and things of that nature, and you have to go and you do interviews. Well, when you go to do these interviews, you bring what? You bring your resume. And your resume is what gives, your hopeful future employers, or future managers or leaders the idea of what kind of person and player or what kind of person you're going to be or worker you're going to be for that company. Well, that's what these young men are doing right now. This is their resume, and they're building their resume up. And I don't care if it's the Coyotes, I don't care if it's the Wild, I don't care what team it is. These guys are trying to make, number one, a name for themselves. They want to show that they're not afraid to hit or get hit, that they have good hockey sense, that they're going to get out there and get after it. I mean, this is what you look for in these type of games. If you go to a preseason game expecting to see the starters, to see Robo and things of that nature, you're a fool. You really are. I'm sorry. I'm going to call it like I see it because you know what? It's just like in any league. Very rare do you see, especially at the very beginning. Now, as the preseason late gets later and later, you may see a starter, a few more starters here or there, but even still, they're not going to play. They may not even play a full period. So
No,
this is the time for these young men to get out there and make a name for themselves. And you know what? We as a fan base, I don't care who you're a fan of. I'm talking about we as a fan base of hockey and the NHL should support these young men and not tear them down. You know what? It'd be very easy for us as fans of the Dallas Stars to sit there and bash on the Coyotes and these players that went out there and played. But you know what? What good does that do? Yes, I'm glad we won. Yes, I'm glad that our boys had a good showing against them. But you know what? I feel for these other young men because you know what? I know they went out there and probably tried as hard as they could. And it's just like in any sport or any event or anything that you're involved in, there's always going to be that somebody that's going to be a little bit better than you or and it just happens that way. But we as a fan base need to support these young men and not tear it down and not sit there and talk bad and not sit there and say, oh, well, these aren't starters. Or, oh, well, these are just junior league players. Or, oh, who get out of here. Support your league.
I mean, if they're on the ice, they're on the ice for a reason.
Exactly. What are you doing? I want to know, the folks that write this stuff that bash these young men and that bash the preseason games and whatnot. What are they doing?
They're sitting on Facebook bashing people. That's what they're doing.
Probably sitting in their grandma's basement,
Wait, do we have basements in Texas? Huh. Oh wait, no, not every Stars fan lives in Texas. My fault,
Yeah,
sorry.
I mean, I'm just using that as they could be like me sitting in their arcade room. I mean, sitting there working on their arcade while I'm doing this.
Hey, who knows? I mean, but yeah, like it's hockey for one. And I'm gonna harp on this again. It's somebody out there trying to work for their dreams. Ooh, they're out there doing something that a lot of us don't have the guts to go out and do.
Exactly.
Some of us, what was the quote? Some of us dream and fail. Some of us never make it off the couch. And some of us go out and change the world. I'm paraphrasing, but that was a very true quote. And
100%
say again.
100% true.
That was from one of my favorite people on this planet. May he rest in peace. And that was just a line that he said in his show. But it's truer than true. Those kids probably left home at like 14, 15, lived with billet families. You're not gonna tear them apart. You don't have the guts to go out and do that, do you? I don't. I don't at all. I'm 38. Like, no. I'm very passionate about the athletes that play hockey. Yeah, because I feel like I can relate to them. Go out, fight for your dreams. Sometimes you'll make it, sometimes you won't. But what you're going to be remembered for is the fight you put into it. And I'm turning red just thinking about these young people getting bashed. Like Curtis McKenzie, he's been with this team how long? I believe he was a captain for the first game of the preseason for the Stars, and he more than deserves it because he's done his thing at Cedar Park, probably twiddling his thumbs just waiting for his shot. Don't tear them apart. Don't even comment on it. All you should be saying is go Stars. That's all I'm ever going to say is go Stars. I'm not going to sit there and say, oh, you half-hearted mailed it in, whatever. No. And if I did up to this point, I do apologize. But no, that creates a big divide. What you need to do is stand behind your team, stand behind your players, and just roll with whatever they give you. They know more than we know. We're just the guys sitting here talking about it, and they're making the decisions.
Exactly. It almost kind of goes to the if you've ever seen the movie Troy, not the greatest movie in the world, certainly not one of Brad Pitt's best movies, but still a decent. No, I mean seriously, in all seriousness, it's something that yes, you could sit and watch. I mean, but if you recall, when Achilles, who was the character that Brad Pitt played, was getting ready to fight the Dionysian, I believe it was, or whatever. I'm gonna pronounce that because I'm horrible. But the boy said, "The Dionysian you're fighting, he's the biggest man I've ever seen. I wouldn't want to fight him." And what did Achilles say? "That is why no one will remember your name."
That's exactly right.
You're either gonna take a stand and go out and get out of your comfort zone and try and follow your dreams, or you're gonna be one of those that writes about those that goes for their dreams. You know?
Ouch.
No.
Oh,
You're going for your dream by writing.
yeah.
What I'm saying is, it's easy to sit here an armchair quarterback and criticize people for supporting these young men, and everybody's going to have different dreams. Some people dream of being writers, some people dream of being coaches, some people dream of being players. But at least everybody's following their dreams, and that's the hard part. The easy part is criticizing those that are going after.
If okay, how can I say this without appearing like a jerk? If you're not out there going after your dream, you have no room to criticize. That's what I think. It's something I read on Facebook, I believe. The ones who criticize you the most are the ones that don't have the guts to go get that dream.
Yeah.
And that I'm one of the fans that I don't really care if a starter plays every game of the preseason. I've told you that. In fact, I hope they don't because I don't want anybody to get hurt. That's also me saying, you know what, put the younger guys in because somebody out there is gonna outwork one of them starters, and then what does the management do? You're gonna have to have that one decision that could change the landscape of that team for either the year or years to come. And I want to see what happens. That's why I studied sports management. I am into that situation right there. I want to see the guy that just knocks everybody's plans all to Hades. And that's why you'll never hear me knock anybody's effort. Like, go get it, man. They put Tyler Seguin on the shelf for the first preseason a game, and they put you in his spot. That's what is that? Second line center?
Yeah.
That's big ice right there. Go get it. That says they believe in you. So if they believe in you, who the heck am I? Just go out there and do the dang thing. Put the green star on your chest, silver star, I know, leave me alone. Put the star on your chest, wear it proud, and fight. That's what I want to see, because you know what? I didn't see enough of that towards the end of the season last year. They ran out of steam. I get it. People get beat up. People get tired. It's a long season, long playoff run. But if somebody out there is hungrier than Tyler Seguin, I want to see that. Can you imagine somebody like Logan Stankoven, and I've said this before to you, I believe, and Weldon, can you believe somebody like Logan Stankoven outworking, say, Dodonov? What do you do then?
Yeah.
What do you do?
Makes your job a lot harder.
And for that matter, do you go with the guys that are just born with it? Or do you go with the guys that are coming back to the bench bloody, beat up, and bruised, and ready to go out for another shift? Like, I don't like... I'm riled up now. Effort is a good thing. Preseason, postseason, exhibition season, whatever. If you're out there with something on your chest, by God, you better defend it with your life. And if you're not, you got a problem. We got a problem.
Definitely.
And if I'm the GM, I am not letting my fans see that. Speaking of which, hey, Dallas Stars management. I tried to listen to the radio last night, Stars app, and or what was it, last night or the night before? Was it last night?
I don't know.
The first game, when was that, Sunday?
Oh, the first game was yesterday, yeah.
Yeah. I tried to listen to the first game, and all I caught was commercials, so I don't know if I caught the game or not, but I eventually gave up. So, hey, Stars people, I love you. I always have loved you. You've given me confidence when I had none. I need some coverage.
Yeah, they definitely need to get some coverage on these games, for sure. Especially, not only for, you know, the local folks like you in Dallas, but even for those of us that aren't local. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I would have been... I looked in several places. I couldn't find it. I even went out because I was at my granddaughter's birthday party yesterday. But I even went out just to see if I could find it on a, on my Sirius XM, and couldn't find it anywhere. I got the Oilers preseason game, which, yeah, no, thank you.
Edmonton?
Uh huh.
In Central Texas.
On Sirius XM. So that was
one of these things just doesn't belong here. I'm getting riled up. I'm telling you, man. Oh, we need coverage. The Rangers have spring training coverage. The Mavericks, I'm sure, have preseason basketball coverage. I don't watch basketball, so I don't know. The NBA D League, the Summer League, whatever it's called, has coverage. Cowboys, you already know. They have coverage. Hey, Stars. Hello.
Yeah.
Where are you? How is an ECHL team that hasn't even started their season getting TV games up here when the Stars are playing preseason games and people are griping because they can't watch it on cable, they can't find it in streaming? Like, huh? But we know when the Allen Americans are going to play their first game.
Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense.
Do you want to be among the more popular teams in Dallas, or do you want to just sit there with your thumbs a-twiddling? Seriously. I got now. We'll get the money. Don't worry. But will you? I mean, ooh. Let's go on this tirade. Whenever you play the Detroit Red Wings or Chicago Blackhawks, who do you think brings in more fans? Off the top of your head.
I'd probably have to say the Detroit Red Wings, personally.
Detroit and Chicago both fill up the AAC more than the Stars.
Hmm.
And you've got fans that are fiending for a little more Dallas Stars hockey coverage, even down there in Central Texas, even in Minnesota, even in Chicago, even in wherever else I saw people complaining. Hello? We're begging you for a little bit more community outreach. And this is coming from a diehard Cowboys fan, too. I would rather watch the Stars because I know who's going to be more consistent. I know who's going to fight for what they want. It ain't going to be the blue and silver. Not all the time. So, you know, if you want to have a more diehard fan base, man, you got to give it to us.
Sure.
I already know when we play Chicago, who's going to fill the arena. I already know. It ain't going to be green. You're going to see a sea of red and black. And that's our arena. So, I don't know if the management needs to hear about it. I don't know if the fans need to wake up and make a little bit more of an uproar. Don't do nothing stupid. Just make your voice heard. If you want more hockey, you got to make it apparent to them because, man, they ain't listening. Money. Money talks. Ratings.
Money talks. You know, they say walks. So.
Let me ask you this, though.
Keep a PG for the kiddos.
Oh, he went there. Oh, okay. I get you now. Okay. I was like, huh? And then I had to process it. Oh, okay. I get it. they say that the Stars are not anywhere close to being the most popular team in Dallas. Which is crazy because they've had the most success lately in the playoffs and we'll say even garnering talent, whether it be free agents, drafts, whatever. You know, sometimes the biggest thing isn't that big silver thing. Sometimes it's laying the foundation to get that big silver thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, let's be honest, the boys in Victory Green, those guys are the most successful at it here lately.
Yeah, they really are. I mean, nothing to take away from the other major teams in that area, but, you know, you have one in baseball that started off hot, but isn't doing so great right now, and then you've got...
Told you.
Huh?
I told him.
And then you've got... Then you've got your NFL one that, once again, has started off hot, but just lost to a team that
they lost had no business losing to.
So, I mean, it's kind of, okay, now what?
I mean, okay, so let's get myself roasted by the basketball fans on the network. When was the last time the Mavericks have even sniffed a final?
Oh, I wasn't even going to count them in this whole discussion. At least we're within the talks of possible going to the playoffs and further.
The Rangers have not been to the World Series in a handful of years. The Mavericks, same thing. Cowboys, I was freaking 8 years old.
And didn't the Rangers go back-to-back and get destroyed back-to-back in the World Series, if I'm not mistaken?
Okay, so yeah, they're up there in consistency. At least they made it to the big stuff. You know, you can't say that for the Cowboys and the Mavs, though.
No, you really can't.
You can say that for the Stars.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't the Stanley Cup Finals, but it was... Stanley Cup Finals, they took a year off because everybody and their mother was hurt the following season from the Stanley Cup Finals run. And then they went back to the Conference Finals. They're building something big in Victory Green. And, you know, they've got a steam engine of a train behind them. We need to rattle some cages. We need to make our voice heard. We need management to jump on board, whatever the case may be. If we want the TV coverage, man, we got to fill that arena. Because by golly, they are the most entertaining team in Dallas.
For sure.
They really are. And like I said, and like we said, they're probably one of the most successful ones too, at least here lately. Which, brings us to my next point, or brings me to my next point. Dude, this roster is so talented, so loaded. Who do you put on the ice for game one? Like, okay. So you have Robo Hintz Pavelski. That's your line one. You have Dadonov, Ben, and Johnston.
Yeah, I believe so.
And then you got Foxa in there somewhere, probably line what, four? Sam Steele, by the way, scored a goal last night.
Yes, he did. I forgot to even mention him. And yeah, he's one of those that, he's trying to make a name for himself right now.
He's a guy that was highly regarded as a top pick and also called a bust in the same sentence.
True.
And if he continues to put effort enough to score, you got to put him in that third or fourth line. But then somebody's going to have to sit. And what about that decor? Who on earth do you put on the ice with that?
Well, I noticed that Ben had a couple of assists last night, if I'm not mistaken.
Jordy?
Yeah, I
Oh,
know.
yeah, he's the only one that played.
I know he assisted on the second Stankoven goal.
Oh, did he? Ooh, Stanky and Jordy Ben. Ooh, on the ice at the same time. Ooh, wow. Yes, please. Yes. Whoa.
So, you've also got him trying to get a roster spot. So, I mean, a lot of positives from last night, to be honest with you. A lot of positives. And so, where does that leave? Who are the coach? I mean, honest and truly, this is a coach's, I wouldn't say it's a nightmare. I think this is a coach's dream. I mean, you've got all this talent that you can play Frankenstein with, and create this monster that could go out there and pretty much could dominate this league.
But then, you risk sitting the wrong guy, or sitting a guy that you should have kept in, rather, not the wrong guy, we'll say. You know what I mean?
But see, that's why it's so good with the NHL is you've got such a it's a long season to where, it's not so much like, NFL where once your roster is set, barring injury, your roster is pretty much set. I mean, every once in a while you'll get that free agency or acquisition and whatnot. But for the most part, teams that start the season is pretty much, especially in those key, positions, your quarterbacks, your running backs, your wide receivers, tight ends, and things like that. Offensive linemen, defensive linemen, you may get this, that, and another. Safeties, you may, pick up someone in free agency, you may lose someone, and you may lose a player or two for injury. But pretty much whatever you start with is what you finish. Whereas in the NHL, you could start with, say, your third line be a Marchment, Seguin, and Duchesne, let's just say. And
Sorry.
come three or four, games in, you may be looking at a Steele, Seguin, Duchesne. May have, a fifth line of Dellandrea, Foxa, and Smith. And, three or four games in, that's not working the way that you thought it was going to work. So you may pull Dellandrea out and throw a steal in with that line, steal Foxa and Smith. Or Dellandrea, Steele, and Smith. And then when you're talking defensemen, you know, you may have, you know, Suter and Haskinen as your first defense, you know, Harley and Hakanpaa as your second. But then, once again, if Ben makes it that far, three or four games into the season, five games into the season, things aren't working out, so you want to try something different. So you might throw a Ben in there with a Haskinen or Ben in there with a Hakanpaa. Could you imagine that, Ben and Hakanpaa? Or even Lundell and Ben. Or even Lundqvist and Ben. I mean, there's so many combinations you could pull into this. It's actually good. It's a good position to be in because, honest and truly, you can make a mistake and sit the wrong player, and it's not going to kill your season because you have the time to figure out, oh, we might have sat the wrong person in this. We might want to try this person in this lineup instead. And that's the whole. That's what's so good about the NHL. I mean, how many times do we watch a game and we're like, hey, wait a minute. Why are they on the different line together? What the heck? What's going on here? You know, I mean, there were a few times where, you know, Coach DeBoer would change things up just to do it. Now, he doesn't do it a lot, which I'm glad, because it gives these lines an opportunity to meld together, mesh together, and work really well together. But whenever he feels the need to, he's not afraid to pull that trigger and change things up. And that's what I like about him.
And for once, they have the talent that'll take the ice, no matter who they put in, to actually be able to plug and play, so to speak.
Yeah, and they do have the talent. I mean, not saying that he is going to come out and do whatever, but let's just say something happens. Let's just throw caution out there, and let's just say something happens. Dodonov comes out and gets injured second or third game in. Well, you know, you've got a Sam Steele that you can fit in there, or just saying, and I said this before and I'll say it again, I would love to see Ben, Johnston, and Stankoven. I just think that would just be a fun line to watch.
You know, that would be wild.
Fun line to watch.
What if they put that on the ice tomorrow?
What's that?
What if they put that on the ice tomorrow?
You never know. You never know. But, I mean, would that not – I mean, honestly and truly, could you imagine how – not only I think that would be a really good line, but I think that they would be an exciting line to watch, especially with, you know, Johnston and his creativity, Stankoven and his speed and creativity – and then Ben with his leadership, and then you throw them in there, and let's just say you've got Ben's brother on defense with that line, and Hakanpaa.
Ooh, ain't nobody gonna mess with Jamie.
You're mentioning that we've got the two 225-pound, you know, defensemen. Well, Hakanpaa is one of them.
Bichel, or I think is how you pronounce his name, man. Yeah. He could be sneaky good.
So, Bichel, I think it's the other one. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, honestly, truly, I last season was fun. I think this season is going to be even more fun.
That's it. Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
For once, I feel like they have the talent that actually complement each other. You know, like.
Agreed. 100%. I agree with that. And not only that, but, you know, one thing that took a lot of the fun out of a lot of these games last season was, you know, going to overtime. And especially when you've got, like, back-to-back games or something like that, or you've got, you know, a game tonight and then you got a game in two nights. Well, sometimes as a fan base, you know, if you've got an overtime game, say, on a Monday night and then you get another game on a Wednesday, you know, oh my God, we're exhausted still from Monday night. We're not going to show up for that Wednesday game. We're just going to stay home tonight. You see what I'm saying?
So yeah.
I have a feeling that those woes are going to be behind us this season. I don't see us having the same amount of those overtime games like we had last season. Or at least I hope we don't.
I think Duchesne might kill that one.
Yeah, that was my point exactly. I think Duchesne's going to be one of the key players in that, because I think he's not only is he going to be really good for us, you know, as part of one of our lines, be it the Seguin line, or Landry's line or something like that, or even moving him around and maybe even putting him in there with Grobo and Hintz just to see. But I think he's also going to be a great addition to our power play.
Oh yeah, for sure. You were talking about the overtime just then, and I just kind of had a thought pop into my head too. How about Jordy Ben on defense, Wyatt Johnston, and Duchesne? That's your three-man line. About Hawk and Paw, Duchesne, and Sam Steele. Remember, he can snipe. You put Duchesne in front of the net. Put Hawk and Paw on one point, Sam Steele on the other. Pass it to Steele. Put somebody in front of the net, whoever it is, Duchesne, whatever. Block that goalie. Screen him as best you can. Bam, goal.
A lot of creativity there.
Ah! Overtime. Pavelski. Duchesne. How about Wyatt Johnston? Look, Wyatt Johnston's proved himself, and he did, and still does, still will, so I've been told, live with Mr. Pavelski and family this year.
How about this one?
Okay.
What do you think about a Robertson, Johnston, Duchesne?
Whoa, I choked. That's game over. Because you got two speedsters, and then you got a guy that can just bomb it. Like, he's got a...
Who do you focus on in that scenario?
Dude, I just get on my knees and pray somebody misses. That's what I do.
And hope you're able to get the puck away from him.
And thank God that I am not that goalie in that net, the other net. You don't even need to screen the goalie if you roll those three out. You really don't.
Or, let me throw this one for you. How about a Hawk and Paw, Sam Steele, and Duchesne?
Hawk and Paw, Sam Steele, and Rupe Hintz.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we know how dominant Rupe can be when he wants to.
Dude, everybody on that line filled in when the other one couldn't.
Oh, definitely. Every time Hintz was in a drought, Robertson was getting the goals. When Robertson was in a drought, Hintz was getting the goals. When both Robertson and Hintz were having issues, Pavelski was getting the goals. That first line, in my opinion, has got to be one of the most dominant lines in the NHL.
Yeah. And remember, when Pavelski was out and he couldn't sit in front of the net, like he's so good at doing, Tyler Seguin stepped up.
Yes, he did. He did step up there big time. I think, didn't he have a hat trick one in one of those games?
I think he came dang close.
He came close. He was knocking on the door of one.
I don't remember. He might have had a goal and an assist. He might have had two goals. I don't remember. I know what game you're talking about, though.
Yeah.
But you know, you have a plug and play roster now, and not going to disrespect Glenn Denning and, even Domi and all those guys that have now gone, but You know, you oof, this team just got miles ahead of what it used to be, and that's saying a lot because that team was already pretty decent. Like, the only reason, huh?
I said right. I was just saying right. I was agreeing with you.
And the only reason why they crapped out on Vegas was because, well, they might have just got tired and outworked.
I mean, honestly, truly, and I think they had a lot going against them. You know, the Ben penalty took a lot of the wind out of their sails. You know.
So, I know we're working on closing the show here, and if you can indulge me for a few minutes, as we have the second game of the preseason tomorrow and a few more after that, what is your three keys to success for the Dallas Stars to have a season just as good, if not better, than the last?
Well, for one, my first key is take the time. Make the best decisions with the evaluations that you have in front of you. Give people opportunities so that they can show what they're capable of. Focus on the speed of the game and making sure that your players know how to be in the right position at the right time and be creative with that speed. And my third position, my third point would be have fun. You know, make sure that your guys are out there having a good time and having fun. Because there's nothing more infectious than a team that's winning and having a good time. And there's nothing more cancerous than a team that's losing and down on themselves. So, you know, keep the positive vibes coming. You know, you're gonna win some, you're gonna lose some, but when you win, you want to build on those wins. When you lose, you want to take those losses in stride and learn. You know. But yeah, those would be my key points that the staff needs to do to make sure that this team is more successful than they were last season.
I think maybe the fact that they had fun a lot of the season, I think maybe that would be what kills the overtime curse.
And
Or
it might,
what.
and you know, one thing if you're looking at last season, and I think we pointed this out during the season last season, it seemed right there, right before we got Domi. We were in kind of a lull. You know, no, they weren't having fun. It seemed like a different team. I think we even discussed that. I think it did not feel like it was the same team, even though it was the same players, just did not feel like the same team. And we were talking, they were getting close to the closing of free agency, and I think they had just brought Dodonov in, and then all of a sudden they brought Domi in, and I don't know what it was about Domi, but he brought a invigoration. He brought like a youthfulness to the team, and it just seemed like they had a lot more fun, and I think they had a lot more success. And I do attribute a lot of the late season success that they had to Max Domi. I really do. You know, and it was great that when Dodonov came in his first game and he scored a goal, you know, it just went to prove that okay, our GM, our coaching staff, they know what they're doing. They're bringing the right players in. They're putting the right players in the right position to make us successful. And that right there is what made it fun. And I have a feeling with bringing in Dushane and Sam Steele and bringing maybe some of these other rookies along, it's going to really get this team's blood flowing and get them to be out there having a good time throughout the entire season. And I don't feel like we're going to hit that lull like we did last season when it comes close to the free agency period. And I don't think we're going to, honest and truly, unless I'm wrong in this, I don't think we're going to be off the rails or anything. I don't think we're going to be looking too much into the free agency pool this season like we kind of were last season.
You mean the trade?
The trade pool. Excuse me. I'm so stuck on football right now. And football is with the free agencies and trade and stuff like that. But yeah, I'm sorry, the trade pool. Excuse me.
Can I put this bug in your ear before we close this out?
Sure.
What is the trade but two teams sending players that are pretty much written off to another team? Oh, no. This guy's not going to work. Denis Gurianov. Nope, he's not going to work here. Okay, goodbye. Hopefully you reinvigorate yourself over there. We'll take you. You come over here. You fill in. Bam. A trade is nothing more than trading somebody that has just been written off. That needs a change of pace. And you have Sam Steele. You have Craig Smith. And you have Matt Duchene in that very position right now.
And I don't see anybody else on this roster right now that I could say that the staff would be willing to write off.
That's wild. That, like, wow. And Dodonov's going to be even more comfortable because he has a full season here this year. Yep. This team is going to sneak up on you if you're not careful.
Yeah.
And they may actually be at or near top of the standings. Dare I say the majority of the season? I'm not going to say half the season like they were last year. It's going to be the majority of the season if they start out right.
And like I said, one of the reasons they kind of lost that was I felt like they're coming up to the trade point. They kind of hit that lull. You know, we lost a few games there, especially we had a lot of the overtime games in that lull. And I think had we not had that lull like we had last season, where we had all those back to back overtime games that we weren't getting the extra or and things of that nature, that hurt us in the end. I think if we can avoid that this season, oh yeah, we're definitely going to be the dominant team in our conference for sure.
I think we're going to have to be the team that Vegas runs around if we play our cards right. I really do. Because, you know, like you said, they just have that kind of roster, you know, and they've got guys that have been written off. They've got everything to, well, except for maybe defense. Defense is a question mark. They've got everything in their pocket to run at the Stanley Cup like there's no tomorrow. They really do.
This is true.
And, you know, they even have a plug-and-play roster. Somebody goes down, next man up. Wow. And all they have to do is what I said and we've said the last few episodes, even into last season, just remember why they're playing.
Yeah.
That's it. You're there to have fun. You're there to live your dream, get paid, and entertain us. Like, just take the pressure off of it. Do your thing and have fun.
Do what you can do to put yourself in position to get Lord Stanley's Cup.
Yeah, man, 7-0 in the preseason. They got it.
There you go.
They got the it. That's a football score, and you're watching hockey. Oof. All right. Well, I don't know, man. I don't know what else there is to say for this one. You got anything else?
No, I think we should put a bow on it, wrap it up, and just call it a day and say go Stars, and we'll see what we can find out in the second game of the preseason tomorrow.
Sounds good to me. I want to thank you for your time before you go. You know, I love having you on the show. Without this show, without you, there is no show. You know, we feed off of each other. Without the BS3 network, there is no show. So thank you. And one more time?
Always a pleasure.
All right. Well, you know, I love you, and I will see you or talk to you next time.
All right, go Stars.
Go Stars. Thank you again, BS3 Network. We're out.